Christians have said to me, I never did really have a good feeling or understanding about the Holy Spirit because I could never quite remember all of the gifts of the Spirit that I learned in catechism class when I was young. Were there six or were there seven? Are they the gifts of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit? I think that something like that echoes in each one of us. Trying to remember something of that sort. And just for the record, the list of the gifts of the Spirit is found in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. They are wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fortitude, piety, counsel, and I can never quite remember the last one. It seems that they have little meaning to us when all we do is memorize another list. They are so abstract and conceptual, something like what a cold analyst would do to teach. They're virtues, they are good, and we know they should develop them, but we need to have a poetic approach, an imaginative approach. First of all, because it makes it easier to remember, and secondly, because it helps us to understand better the relationship that each of us has with the Spirit of the living God who dwells within our heart. Now, this morning, in each one of the sacred readings, we heard something said about the Holy Spirit in poetic figures of speech. We were told about the Holy Spirit through wind, fire, and breath. We were told there was a noise like a driving wind that went throughout the house. The tongues of fire appeared and came to rest upon each of them. And then in the gospel, that one important line, Jesus breathed on them. It means that Pentecost, the completion of Easter, really should be a deeply personal celebration for all of us, renewing us, strengthening us, changing us for the better. What does it really mean to say that the Spirit of the living God dwells within our hearts? First of all, we remember that the living God is creative, a creative force, and we, each of us, is made to the image and the likeness of the living, creative God. We should then expect to find creativity in ourselves, the power in each of us to do things that are new, useful, delightful. Just as children should do much more than simply color the areas between the lines in color books, and just as adults should go beyond painting pictures with numbers, because all of that inhibits. The Holy Spirit is a creative power. And that is seen always by the lives of people who inspire us. Now you look at that very word, inspire. Inspire or inspiration. It means that the breath of God is within us. That God is breathing his life within us. That God's creative impulse moves from him to you and to what you do. Possibly of all of the vocations or callings in life where the Holy Spirit has great opportunity to take effect is in teaching, teachers. And then we recall that every parent is the primary teacher, forming and reforming the children, creating them to the parent's image and likeness. So many teachers produce students who grow up to become famous, and then the teacher is forgotten about. It's quite normal. You have a man like James Michener, who has become a household word because of the many novels he has written. We discover that he was a brilliant college student, Phi Beta Kappa and everything else, but in high school, he was a miserable failure. He was suspended twice, failed many other classes, but was saved, as it were, for the future by one single English teacher who saw in him something worth in the future and propelled him later on into his fame. And I think that every one of us, if we look back far enough, would discover a person or a teacher who got us through difficult times. That was the Holy Spirit working through another person. One of the greatest teachers of the present time is a good illustration of how the Holy Spirit works upon human beings. One of the famous music teachers of all time, Madame Nadia Boulanger of Paris, France, who taught some of the most brilliant musicians of Europe and America. And they, in turn, have given us music through the compositions that we people will enjoy for centuries. And that really is what we are talking about when we speak of the fruits of the Spirit, the result of the creativity of these people. One of her students was Aaron Copland, now considered one of America's greatest composers. Leonard Bernstein, one of the great conductors of America. Walter Piston, who was the head of the music department at Harvard for 40 years. People like that and more of that caliber. And when she died only 4 years ago, her biographer said that her death really could be simply a recording of a physical statistic, as important as it is, but that in reality her influence would continue through the work she had done through her student. It would go on for centuries. Now that then is the important point about us and our reception of the Spirit's gifts into our lives. To receive the best that any teacher has to give, or for a child to receive from a parent, means that as students or children, we are to be always open, responsive, and docile. That is the key. Also to prepare for the constant ongoing giving of gifts of the Spirit to each of us. To be open and of goodwill. To have a closed mind, to have a sour attitude, does not work. What is so ironic is that in the work that Madame Boulanger did with her students, who became famous later on, they really had to have a deep sense of humility in her presence. She discovered that Aaron Copland, for instance, was deeply prejudiced against her for two reasons. First of all, she was a woman, and secondly, she taught harmony, a rather basic subject. But what she did, and he discovered later on, her genius, was that she encouraged each one of her students to learn as much about the materials of music she presented in order that each one of them then could speak the language of music in his own particular personal way. Now that is the insight of how the fruits of the Spirit come to each of us. It means there's no teacher, there's no parent who would wish to have their pupils or their children to end up simply as carbon copies of themselves, because that would limit creativity, it would inhibit and destroy the beauty of each person's personality. And that's really what St. Paul meant today when he said that there are different gifts, even though they all come from the same Spirit. In this case, there are different musical geniuses, and they all receive their formation from the very same teacher. But all was different in the productions. All people recognize the unlimited possibilities that the human spirit is capable of. And also we recognize the sheer genius of some individuals. And the question mark I think that most of us have in the back of our minds is that a product of education or genetics or family background or training? The answer for us who have the gift of faith is that besides those elements, we do believe that our human spirit is also infused with a mysterious divine power, which is holy and which is divine. That the spirit, the mysterious spirit of the risen Christ, dwells deep down within each one of us. And that is what makes the difference. We ask, what about us ordinary people who will never receive a Nobel Prize, who will never have a biography written about us? The answer is we should learn, because of those gifts, never, ever to underestimate ourselves. Not even in our darkest, bleakest moments. Never, ever underestimate the potential that each of us has been given by God. Each of us is bigger than we think, can do more than we imagine. Each of us is creative in a particular way. You can create a good meal, a happy family, an attractive home. All of those are spirit-given talents. In a thousand different ways, you can be creative through the Spirit. To shape words or to shape stones into buildings. The architect with the blueprint or the contractor with the cement. The power to make useful and good things. Automobiles that work and kites that fly. All of these are signs of creative power. A power that does not blow up in the heavens, but rather a power that subsides, that dwells deep down within our human psyche. There's a certain point within each one of us where the living God dwells and stirs us up, helps us to struggle with new ideas in the future. And once we get a new idea, once we are inspired, it is God, our parent, who has gifted us to work it out. Not alone, but with each other. As Paul said, for the common good, there are many ministries, as many as there are people. No one is ever left out. And that is why Pentecost, the conclusion, the fulfillment of Easter, is really a celebration of human creativity. Pentecost is a celebration of the living God who dwells deep down in our innermost self.